Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Melissa Landry, Vice President and Director of the Pelican Institute's Center for Energy Policy, and also Gavin Roberts, PhD, Associate Professor of Economics, Chair of the Goddard School, Fellow Weber State University, Senior Fellow at the Pelican Institute. Gavin and Melissa, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
So let's talk about this update to a previous report that was done by Weber State University by Dr. Gavin Roberts. And Melissa, if you want, lead us in.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I know you're very familiar, and your listeners probably are too, that over the last decade or so, Louisiana, in partnership with Coastal Parishes and some private attorneys, working on behalf of the state and local governments, have engaged and filed over 40 lawsuits against hundreds of energy producers claiming decades-old oil and gas operations contributed and caused coastal erosion. Those cases have been making their way. It's been over a decade of courtroom battles. And what this report really illustrates is the economic impact that this litigation has contributed to the loss of investments and shrinking production and fewer energy jobs, wages, and royalty revenues here in Louisiana. At the Pelican Institute, which is Louisiana's leading free market think tank, we strive to really put forth free market policies that help to position Louisiana for success to compete in the global marketplace. And really the end goal of that is really to create opportunities for every human being in our state to thrive. This is obviously had a significant impact on a major sector of Louisiana's economy. And Dr. Roberts' initial report back in 2019 made a compelling case for the impact that this litigation is having on the state's oil and gas industry. And I think the report that we released last week shows very clearly how that theory has played out over time.
So, Dr. Roberts, to you, I read the report. I saw the data about the downturn, the economic trends, some of which are somewhat greater than the national trends as it relates to oil and gas production for a host of reasons. How do we draw the conclusion, though, and what data are we providing relative to lawsuits and the nature of the lawsuits to this downturn?
I think really to get the most clear picture of the effect of the lawsuits is we can look to the original report. And what I was able to do is, it's kind of a nice setup because, I mean, it's not a nice setup in terms of the consequences of Louisiana's economy. It's a nice setup because there are very similar regions where oil and gas can be developed, very nearby those regions which these Louisiana lawsuits impacted. So the simplest thing I did, I was able to collect data on individual wells, natural gas and oil, and just to look and see what's happening to trends in drilling in these areas. And it's nice because once you get far enough offshore, you are no longer in an area that's subject to lawsuits. So what we observe is before these specific coastal lawsuits were in play, sort of leading up to 2013, the trends in drilling between those Louisiana areas that would be subject to the lawsuits and those areas in the federal region which would not be subject to the lawsuits, we observed very similar trends in drilling before the lawsuits occurred. Immediately after the lawsuits begin to occur, we see a large fall off of drilling in the Louisiana area where we would expect the lawsuits to have their impact. Well, at the same time, we actually see a small increase in a continued robust drilling in the federal areas. What I kind of just described is a very common model in economics called difference in differences. And then we also looked at things like, okay, well, we know that around that same time period, oil prices fell considerably. So that's why it's important, of course, to make comparisons where we say, well, oil prices affect regions outside of where the lawsuits were having an impact. So we do a lot to try to control and make comparisons that can be apples to apples in that environment.
So how do we account for what happened in, you know, relative to the BP spill, which actually consumed probably about a 6 or 7, maybe even 8 year period of time starting in April of 2010. How does that impact what you've looked at? And is there a tail to that event that continues to contribute to maybe some of this downturn?
I imagine that that did have some impacts in and of itself. I think that in that case, and I think there's an important distinction that comes out. In that case, it was very clear what the cause of the spill was and who was responsible for that cause. Sure. Coastal lawsuits are quite different from that because the number one cause of coastal degradation in Louisiana is not, in fact, dredging or drilling for oil wells. It has more to do with what's happening upstream on the Mississippi and other river systems. And so that comes back to what I was saying about the trend comparisons. So certainly both the federal and Louisiana offshore region would have been affected to the extent that they were by that BP oil spill. And we compare trends during that period, in fact, starting in 2009. And so I think the first figure in the original report sort of tells the story I'm telling you in words now, is we see comparable trends in both regions between 2010 and 2013. So to the extent of that impact was very similar in both regions. It is not until the onset of the coastal lawsuits where we see that divergence in these trends, and it's the divergence that we would expect. Coastal lawsuits impact the expected cost of drilling in a way that's very uncertain, which I think is important. And that uncertainty leads to higher costs. Businesses don't like that type of uncertainty. Businesses can deal with risk sometimes, but uncertainty is a different ballgame because the difference between uncertainty and risk is it's quantifiable. And I just want to tie that to something really quickly I said before, driving that difference, because some people have claimed, look, once we take care of this, of the responsible parties for this coastal degradation, then new development will come. Because they'll say, look, you punished the guys that did this. I don't have to worry about that. That is not really the case for the coastal lawsuits, because as I mentioned before, it is not the one factor. However, it's definitely being treated as if it is in many ways in these lawsuits. So that is the uncertainty, because it's not clear at all that the types of changes that would need to occur across the board, not those specific to oil and gas development, are going to go away anytime soon. So it's not clear at all that these cases won't come up. It's easier to say, hey, look, it's this rich oil developer who caused this problem. And so that's the money we're going to go after. And it would be astonishing to me if the oil companies don't respond that way to that uncertainty and say, look, there's just too much uncertainty right now. We need more clear guidance on what our expected costs associated this week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
What would you say to the detractors that say, well, the very nature of the landscape and the orientation of the manner in which we extracted oil in Louisiana is different than the way we actually do it in most other states? You don't see coastal wetland production like you did in Louisiana because they just didn't have the amount of acreage that we had in Louisiana of coastal wetland production in those states. So it's not an apples to apples comparison.
I think that's a fair question. What I would say in response to that is the operations that are at issue in these coastal lawsuits are not we're not carried out under the cover of darkness. These operations were conducted legally. Many of them were directed by the federal government during, dating as far back to World War II, when the entire oil and gas industry was working, under directives of the federal government in support of America's efforts to win the war. So the fact of the matter is that these operations were conducted legally, and the very same parishes in the state of Louisiana that has benefited from those operations for dating back to World War II were responsible for regulating and monitoring those operations, and they did. And it is only now, under this new sort of legal theory that is being asserted by attorneys, private outside counsel working on behalf of these state and local governments now, that there's been this new, or this attempt to rewrite history and assert this new novel legal theory.
Yeah, and I'm not advocating on behalf of that. What the point I was simply trying to make is, I try to put myself in the shoes of the oil producers, and given the choice of drilling a well in wetlands, with not only what's going on with these lawsuits, but with wetland mitigation, wetland protection, this estuarial protection, and everything else, over the years, and the amount of federal oversight and regulatory rules that have changed, it would seem to me that if I had the opportunity to drill a well, for instance, on land in Texas, that's where I go. Less risk, ease of administration, don't have, Jones Act involved, don't have a whole lot of different things, even at the federal level, involved by doing so, and less regulatory provisions both at the federal and state level, because I'm not in wetlands. And I'm just curious, how do we pull that out of what this consideration is as well. I mean, you know, if you just look at the abandoned well program in the state, that's been a disaster. I mean, we all know that we've been had well heads that have been struck by vessels, and we've had spills. Thankfully, not as large as the BP spill, but obviously there's abandoned equipment there that has led to some degradation of the marshes as a result of the amount of the oil that was spilled. Going back to what you said about BP being different, I guess you could say the same thing about these types of things. We know that that abandoned piece of equipment is responsible for something, right? Unlike some of the other coastal litigation suits that are out there. But when I look at it in its totality, what do you say about, you know, if I'm assessing that risk, coupled with the, obviously the litigation, there are a whole lot of host of other reasons why I might go drill a well somewhere else.
I totally agree with that. And I think, sorry, Melissa, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry, Dr. Roberts.
So I would say the first thing is that I think it would be really hard. We could do an analysis of how those risks vary from state to state. It's not clear from me and my experience that those would necessarily be worse in Louisiana than some other places. For example, I've done a lot of research in Wyoming. New risks emerge there related to environmental policies. So the sage grouse is something that comes up often in those cases. Now, that's definitely bringing an uncertainty. But I think the important part in terms of the analysis in this report is to the extent we believe there was major changes in the risks, the risk assessment on the part of drillers that you mentioned, where did the changes in risk assessment come from over the period of the data that we were looking at? I looked at different evidence of what other changes were occurring this time. During the time period that we assessed the initial impact of drilling, I didn't see anything that would have led to a dramatic change in that risk assessment. I absolutely agree with you that developers are certainly thinking about those risks across space and across time. What happened in Louisiana is there was a major change in that assessment across time related to the lawsuits, and that's what changed them at that particular time. Absolutely, developers are thinking about how those risks vary across space as well. What's nice about the difference in differences model I described before, that we tried to help with exactly what you're thinking about in two different ways. One is I'm not going to go look at distant states and compare trends there. What I'm going to look at, and this is the original where we made the initial causal analysis report, I explicitly did not look in other states far away because I considered them to be too different for a variety of reasons, probably more related to productivity than those types of risks, but those types of risks are obviously concerning as well. Mm-hmm. But then to the extent those differences across space are existing, as long as they're relatively constant over our sample period, that helps us attribute the cause of this particular change. And that's sort of the reason people that use this difference in differences model is to try to control for fixed differences of the type that you're talking about. Now, obviously, those things can change. And that part of the assessment is, hey, were there any major changes during this period that we would expect to differentially impact drilling in Louisiana? Yeah, there was one. And it was the onset of these major coastal lawsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
you were gonna,
if I may, I would just add, the oil and natural gas industry has been operating. It is a cornerstone of Louisiana's culture and economy for over a century. They have also been very strong partners with our state, providing jobs for families and investing hundreds of millions of dollars in our communities and the coast and the environment. The fact of the matter is that, you know, the state and coastal parishes don't need to sue energy producers into investing in our coast. They already are. They, in fact, energy producers are the number one private investor in our coast. And the reality is that every dollar that's spent on litigation is a dollar that's not spent on production and a dollar that's not spent on restoration. And, you know, this problem is best solved when we are all working together. Instead of, you know, these endless courtroom battles, it's clear that Louisiana, would far better benefit both our economy and our coast by, you know, encouraging collaborative solutions between the industry, state and local governments, and in support, you know, in advancing free market innovation and solutions in support of our Louisiana's coastal master plan.
Yeah, there's no bigger supporter of the oil and gas industry than I am. I've defended them over and over again. I just like to ask these probative questions, especially in light of the fact that our governor, our attorney general, the attorney general specifically has said in the Chevron case that there was causation. I mean, they have stood toe to toe against the Trump administration and many of the political Republican activists that have criticized them, saying that that suit should not have played out the way it did. So there's a huge difference of opinion as it relates to some of these individual pieces of litigation. I don't know if the overall arching theme and strategy of this is legitimate or not. But when I look, you know, at the data, Louisiana has declined in oil production since its high of 566 million barrels produced in 1970. And it's never been able to regroup or reach that level ever again, which was long in advance of litigation of this type, where it was more of a freewheeling environment, very much encouraged by both local and state government, and, you know, to where we find ourselves today. And we've had some anomaly events like 2014, when we laid off 20,000 oil workers. We never recovered from it. It was though there was no interest in recovering in 2014, which was in advance of the litigation. So I'm just curious of the breadth and depth of other indicators and other attitudes that may be existing out there as it relates to Louisiana, where in other states, in Texas, they have been able to recover. They've been more nimble and they've been more durable than we've been. I don't know why. I don't know all the reasons. There's some big blue water BP projects that they're the beneficiary of right now. The brown water industry in Louisiana is pretty much all but dead. If you don't get the right price, the sweet spot in the price of oil, they're not going to go do work over rigs. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that are out there. But I understand that litigation is a consideration, is one of risk, and is an assessment, because those are absolute costs. Math has no emotion. It doesn't lie. You know, when you got to pay lawyers and pay for litigation, that's real money. I get it. I understand that. It just seems to me there are some other things going on here, and I haven't been able to put my finger on it.
Well, you're absolutely right that there is, a significant distinction between development that has happened in Texas and here in Louisiana. And as we see from the data in Dr. Roberts' report and you've pointed out, the differences. But we know that difference isn't geology. It's policy and the legal climate. Legal and regulatory stability is the single, is one of the primary drivers of investment decisions. And the good news is that by embracing reforms to create a more predictable legal and regulatory climate here in Louisiana, we can reverse this trend and decline in production.
Yeah, well, there is some other difference: the ability of land drilling versus over water. I mean, the cost differential's huge. The risk, huge. The daily cost, huge. You take out in complete entire service industries when you're on land as opposed to water. I don't know that Louisiana has the same benefits that Texas has in that regard. But drilling is down in Texas, too. I was reading last week the Fed Reserve out of Dallas's report on energy. It's down. So it's just kind of interesting where this is all going to play out. But I get it. I get the hard dollars. And, if there's an opportunity. And look, I'll say one thing about Dr. Roberts, your report. I didn't realize it was as bad as it is. I'm going to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
As I read these numbers, I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, this sucks. I mean, this is not good.
And I think one thing to your point is that on a – it's absolutely right that the fixed upfront investment is going to be much higher to go to brown water or deep water.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you divide that investment by the ultimate productivity, that's what drives them there, right? They're going
sure.
to get much more productivity at the end of that investment. But that
no
is
doubt.
Exactly the type of an investment that we would be expect to be more impacted by a lawsuit. You have a higher
absolutely.
Relative sunk cost. So I think that what you just explained is that that's particularly going to be impacted by lawsuits.
Totally agree with you.
Another quick thing I say is that oil prices crashed in 2014. You may recall, and you mentioned that a lot of Louisiana oil employment was lost during that time. And so that's actually an important compounding factor, because in our analysis, we looked, and the unemployment you're referring to happened before the futures prices went down.
Right. Interesting. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. I could talk about this for another hour because I totally enjoy the conversation. Melissa Landry with Pelican Institute Center for Energy Policy, thank you. And Dr. Gavin Roberts, thank you as well from Weber State University in the report. Well done. Really enjoyed reading the data. And as I said before, it made me nervous. I was like, this is not good. But thank you, sir. And Melissa, thank you for joining us. All righty, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.